for Saturday, December 15th, 2018. You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast, and on Saturdays, it is the Deep Dive with Rich Van. I am, of course, Rich Van. This week, we're going to be talking about Nia Jax, we're going to be talking about Vince McMahon, and of course, we're going to be talking with you. So, if you feel the urge, give us a splurge and call on in. 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. This is a pretty cool week because very rarely in the deep dive, a year and change in, do we get to make history such as this. But I'll be joined in a few moments by Sean Covington of MMA Torch, who is one day removed from being married. And that's pretty sweet. One, his wife is kind enough to allow him to do the show. And two, marriage tis a wonderful thing. And so without further ado, Sean, welcome back to the deep dive. Once technical support here switches you on.
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
Pretty good. First, congratulations on the nuptials. I saw the pictures you put online of the wedding rings. What was the inspiration behind your wedding for those folks who didn't get to follow the stream or didn't get to see the pictures?
Well, the inspiration was she already got her forever ring. She's a big Lord of the Rings fan, so I got her the One Ring as an engagement ring years ago. And I was like, well, I want a ring I can wear forever. So it's a little big for her fingers, so she'll probably have to wear it around her neck. But, yeah, I went and got the rings, and I'm going to get them platinum plated later. So I just wanted something that I could enjoy as well.
And with the ring, why did you choose the belts that you chose for the rings? Why did you choose the belts that you chose for like, the rings in the picture? Why not like the Intercontinental title or like, you know?
Because those are the best ones. Those are the best. Those are just the best tag team titles. Like I always liked them since their inception. Like those are the best tag team titles pretty much on the planet. Well, those UK titles, those new NXT UK titles are great. So, like, maybe I would have got those, you know, if they had finger rings of them. But, yeah, they're just the best titles I've seen, tag team-wise.
Awesome. Now, before we go any further, why don't you tell the folks a little bit about yourself, what you do, and all the other awesome ventures you got going on inside and outside the world of wrestling and mixed martial arts.
Well, absolutely. Well, first things first, I live in Chico, California. That's Northern California. I am a little bit below Paradise, the town that burned down just a little over a month ago. It was called the Campfire, but not just Paradise burned down. There was other neighboring small towns in Northern California. If you go to KQED.org, you can get all the information on where you can donate and what's needed and things like that. There's plenty of you can just go to GoFundMe. There are a ton of them on there. They still need your love, your support, and your financial support. People have been giving overwhelmingly, so if you can keep it up, that would be great. Again, there's a ton of resources on KQED.org. Just go there, and you can find a wealth of information on the fire itself and what you can donate to help out. As it comes to me, I have been writing for According to Sources for quite some time. That's how I got into writing and covering mixed martial arts and things of that nature. I also started writing for MMA Torch not too long ago. According to Sources.wordpress.com is where you can find us. That's our temporary site, MMATorch.com. At Covington's Corner, that's where you can find my articles, where people will definitely love to rebut what I have to say, like John Jones not being the GOAT and not even being close. People hate that. So, yeah, if you got beef, come up. If you got beef, come over to Covington's Corner.
Okay, wait. Before you go any further, what's your reason why he isn't the best, and who is the best to you?
What would say Daniel Cormier is? Well, for one, if you cheat, if you get caught cheating, not just getting caught, but if you cheat, I mean, that's kind of an asterisk. That's why Barry Bonds is, you know, like, not revered as, you know, that's why he's not in the Hall and stuff like that. So he cheated. He beat Daniel Cormier, but every time he beat him, he was high on something. And when you do steroids like that in that industry, in that profession, there's no telling how long you've been doing it. So I don't know how long he's been doing drugs and if he could beat people without them. I know Daniel Cormier can, and I know he has, and I know he's undefeated, minor those little asterisks that are John Jones. So I don't know exactly. I can't. It's a big argument for who the GOAT is, because you could throw Demetrius Johnson in there as well. But I'm going to go with Daniel Cormier just because, you know, I can start with him and go from there.
Okay. Okay. And continue with the rest of the fine ways folks can find you, because you're kind of changing the game with your switch work as far as working online.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm at Twitch, at Heavy Arms, the number 4 and letter U. So at Heavy Arms for You. Broadcast my wedding live. Didn't come through the way I want it, but Twitch is still a little experimental for me. Definitely got to take some time, and it's a learning curve. Also, you can find me at According to Sources on Facebook. I'm definitely on there engaging with people. And Sporticus is a show I'm coming out with soon. It was supposed to be here at the end of October, but life comes at you fast. I'm married now, so you know, I changed a lot of things, but I'm still happy where I'm at, you know.
Yeah, I completely get it. So, and where can they find you on Twitter if they want to see how problematic you can be?
Heavy Arms, at Heavy Arms.
So there's no for you there.
Just, if you just look, no, just at Heavy Arms. The for you was added because somebody took the name already. So you'll find me. I have on a luchador mask. You'll know it's me. You'll just know.
Well, thank you for giving everybody the pertinence, Sean. So as we go through this week, two big topics. The main one I know you said you wanted to talk about was Nia Jax, and we'll get to that. And then the B topic was Vince showing up on Monday. And I wanted to kind of talk about that first, because to you, what does that mean, and what was your reaction when you first heard it?
Well, okay. Well, first things first with Vince. You know, I thought it was great. My friend broke the news to me. He said, "Hey, man, Vince is going to be on Raw." And I go, "Oh, man." So I pull up the article from WWE.com, and he said he's going to shake things up. So I immediately thought, "Oh, man, he's going to do way too much and just – he's going to screw it all up. He's going to put Becky Lynch on Raw. He's going to put Charlotte over there. This is going to be crazy. It's going to be Elimination Chamber matches on Raw. It's going to be anarchy." That's the first thing I thought. But, you know, then I thought, I said, hey, man, you know, everybody rips on Vince, and he deserves every criticism he gets. At the same time, he's doing what we encourage everyone else to do, which is get the bag. All we hear is, hey, man, you know, it's about Vince. Well, it's his company. So, yeah, like, I mean, we got it's a little give and take here. It's his company, so his face can be plastered on it. He can make himself champion when he wants. Like, he owns it, you know. And we keep looking at his product. We keep covering it like we are today. So, I mean, it's going to happen. But we got to take the good with the bad. Like, anything Seth Rollins does, anything Becky Lynch does, we got to take that good with the bad that comes with Vince. But I'm excited to see him, man. I never seen him in person, so I'm excited.
Now, you said in person. Are you going to the event this weekend? And are you going to the pay-per-view on Sunday?
I will be – no, not the pay-per-view on Sunday. One of my friends that I'm going with will be at the pay-per-view on Sunday and is going to drive back up here to come take us down from Sacramento to watch to watch Raw the day after. So I'm going to be at Raw the day after. Wade, if you're listening, I've been emailing you, man. I want to be your correspondent. Read your emails.
Read your email. Oh my God! See, this is why Sean's problematic, Sean, because he knows no respect to person. He goes to the heart of the matter. He gets what he wants, and that's why I wanted him on tonight. Because, like you said, we're talking about Vince right now, but I want to talk about Nia Jax, and I figured there's no one better to talk about it because, as you've already
You're breaking up
proven,
a little, Rich. Just a little bit.
oh, that's weird. You're looking, it's coming out good on your end, but okay. So, for the reason I have Sean on today is because Sean has great opinions, and he's always one with an alternative take. So I wanted to talk a little Nia Jax. So Sean, what are your thoughts on the young woman? And let's start first with, does she deserve a push after the Becky Lynch concussion?
Deserve? Absolutely not. She actually deserves the opposite of that. To be honest, I mean, let's just start from the top, man, the controversy, too. Our president, nobody likes him, and everyone says he's doing a terrible job. I know it's not by Nia, an arguably accident. I think that it was a halfway accident. Like, she was doing it on purpose, but when she realized, you know, just like a split second in, that she didn't close her fist all the way. She realized she didn't put a work punch, so she didn't close her fist. But I think she did react, but not to cause the harm she did. But so the president, he doesn't do a good job, and we want to fire him. We want him impeached. Can we not do this with a person? We bring up old tweets about people that we don't like for whatever reason, and we try to get them fired. That's what this, that's what, at least what America's doing to people right now. I'm not, man, I think that's trash. But when someone's not good at their job, shouldn't we, I mean, we come for their head with other people. Why isn't she being punished for it? She's being rewarded. I think the reward, she's not being rewarded, but this is the only way you can go with pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is a very unique business, which is why you and I cover it, Rich, you know, because it's great. It's, you just see things and dynamics that you never see before. So, because it's the nature of the business. If you don't, you could actually ruin her entire career with no way for her to come back. But I think she should be fired and she should be put on the indies.
Now,
until she learns how to work.
Do you think, okay, so what you said, fired, put on the indies until she learns how to work. Couldn't they accomplish the same thing by sending her down to NXT and having her take some time? Or, as Brian Alvarez suggested, keep her on the main roster, but then on weekends, she's working the NXT loops to keep getting ring time? Or do you feel like that's still too much of a reward?
That's way too much of a reward. I mean, let's think about NXT and who's down there. Bianca Belair. You want her to hurt Bianca Belair? Nope. I don't want her to hurt. She can go to the UK and work over there. And I would, I mean, it's actually a good suggestion, but she needs to work not in WWE like Drew McIntyre did and like Jinder Mahal did. And I'm still salty about what they did with Jinder Mahal. They kind of used him up, and then now look at him. He could actually be a contender for the title if they just kept going where they were going. If you're going to do it, do it. Don't pull back on it. I was all in on Jinder Mahal, and I still am whenever they were going to go back there. They built him up to look great, and he's not the greatest of workers. But look what they did with Jinder Mahal. He still got – he was good enough and looked good enough to convince some people, not a whole lot, that he should be champion, and he was champion, and so was Nia. But she needs to learn how to. She seems a little spoiled. I mean, and you look at her character; it just seems, I don't know. There's some turmoil there. Inner turmoil. I don't know what she is. She was a heel. She was a face. NXT is too good. NXT isn't a bump down, actually, when it comes to working. It's, yeah, you learn in the ropes, but I think it's too good. I think she's got to go on indies and start kind of from scratch. Did. She had a great match with Bayley, and Bayley hit everything wrong about Nia Jax. Because I was like, yeah, bring Nia Jax up, unlike everyone else. And then she got there, and she's hurting people left and right. You know, so, yeah, NXT is too good for her. She's got to go somewhere else. It's too good. It's one of the best products on the planet. She's got to go elsewhere.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And my next question for you regarding Nia Jax, and of course, if any of you are willing to join in on the conversation, feel free to shoot us an email, pwtdive@gmail.com, Or if you're going to call in, give us a call, 515-605-9345. Just make sure you hit 1 on your dial to make sure we know you want to be in on the conversation. I'm of two minds with this, and so that's why I'm kind of talking this through with you. On one hand, I think her relationship with The Rock, her look, and if they can figure it out, she can be money. On the other, this isn't the first person she's injured, and I don't want the next person to get what Naomi got when she had her orbital bone broken by her ex-tag partner. Because people forget about how all over Naomi was, and then she had to sit out for almost a year because of that orbital bone.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
What do you think about that, Sean?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, like I said, you just coming in and out a little bit, so I'm trying to just wait a little bit. But, okay, so with that, I think, like I was saying, with her going to the Indies, I think it's best for her because there's a flip side to this. Once she's done, she could be in a worse spot than Jinder Mahal. Vince might just straight use her up, and then she won't have a career at all. So it's very important that she just not buy wholeheartedly into this with no exit plan, no exit strategy. Because what does she do after she gets this push? If she doesn't get that title, what happens to her? We saw what happened to Jinder after his title reign, which, to be honest, I liked it because I didn't actually want Shinsuke or AJ to have a title at that time. Had they built Jinder up properly, like they should have did with Nia, then it would have worked a lot better and having an established character. But her character still isn't established, and neither is her in-ring work. When it comes to her and the injuries, think about Zelina Vega. She hurt Zelina Vega. So that means Andrade Cien Almas didn't have a mouthpiece, so he had like one match without Zelina Vega while she was out. She hurt Alexa Bliss. She hurt Ember Moon. And Ember Moon's husband had a tweet that he had to delete. He called Nia Jax an unsafe moron. I mean, that's her husband, so like he's entitled to his opinion. Obviously, it's not good for him to have that out there, but it was out there, you know? So it's imperative that she have something to do after this.
Oh, no, I completely agree. And I'm looking at this tweet from Matthew Palmer. I didn't realize that happened like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. That's a lot, man.
Yeah. That was before their match, because, I mean, he's not right to name call. I mean, he don't have to do that. He could just say unsafe, you know. But, I mean, how unsafe is he? It's kind of moronic. I mean, it's not like he's lying, you know. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. He felt that way. He put it down. It's an incompetency it's just incompetence that we can't exactly allow, because it's a very different business, you know. You have to trust that person. And look at how Brie Bella, you know, got roasted, got destroyed when she hurt Liv Morgan. She got utterly decimated, and she apologized. After that, but she still apologized because she got it. Nia Jax didn't even do that. She said we don't, whatever she said right after she heard Becky, like, what about what industry it was. And it's like, that's not how you apologize. You can just get heat on yourself. Don't just start with getting heat. I don't care what you did in the back. You show us, we saw on TV that they did, you If Becky was on Raw and I had bought a ticket and Becky was off at Raw because of Nia Jax, you damn right I'd want her fired immediately.
Yeah, you're right. Now, before we go any further, we do have a caller, so I want to bring the caller on and we can kind of have the chat with you. And if it keeps cutting out, Sean, I think it's on your end. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to see if the caller hears one of us or the other, like, chopping, because I'm hearing you a little choppy, too. I might send you a message if you can do okay. Over my brain stopped working, like Skype or something. I can send you a link. Yeah.
I can deal with it if you can. It's coming through all right. It's just paused. Yeah, it's a little choppy, but I kind of gotten used to it by now.
Okay. All right. So let's go to our first caller, 623. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Why don't you state your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, Rich. Hey, Sean. This is Brian calling for Phoenix. I'm going to take you off Bluetooth here in one second.
Oh, no. Brian. Oh, Brian, call back.
Oh, did he hang up with the Bluetooth?
Yeah, that's an eternal struggle with the Bluetooth. You hold that button in, and sometimes it hangs up, sometimes it disconnects. So, yeah. Brian, when you call back in, we will bring you back into the conversation. But now, let's take a step back. If I can borrow from one of my favorite new shows I've been watching, Letterkenny. Anytime someone says, to be fair, they all take on a British accent and say, to be fair, to be fair. And I'm going to say, to be fair, when you look at Ember Moon's husband, he's also the one that had the T-shirt made of Black Chick Thriller or whatever. What it was some stupid T-shirt that he made that didn't exactly throw roses on him. So he's got to be careful about what he does, where he does it, because if he wants to work at some point with his wife, that would be helpful. And it looks like, Sean, we have our caller back. Brian, just take a second. Welcome back.
Okay. Hey, I'm sorry about that, gentlemen. Hopefully you both have a real good weekend. Thanks a lot for having me on, as always, Rich.
Oh, no problem. So what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, to me, I would agree. First of all, Sean, congratulations. Let me say that. Let me get that out of the way first.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Actually, Rich, to me, I agree with Sean. You actually were a little more coming in and out choppy than he was.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll endeavor to fix that while you guys chat about what you want to talk
about.
But
we'll work our way through it.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Hey, Sean. So, again, first of all, it's really good talking to you. So, and like you said, with the Northern Californian, and you know what? Let's digress for one really quick second since you talked about Northern California and the tragedy that happened up there. What was your take on when WWE was actually in LA and they had, you know, Seth Rollins come out with his normal Burn It Down? And, you know, I know there some people were negative about having that kind of message in the state of California during that time, or, you know, the fires were pretty much over at that point. But what was your opinion on that?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's just something that's happened, fans. That's something they came up with that like a year ago when he was on the cover of the game, really. So that didn't have anything to do with me. So that didn't hurt me at all. All it did was they were in the LA area, even the president, even though he got the name of the town wrong, the president came to the wildfires. Why couldn't they travel up a little further and come to Northern California? Because Southern California, but Northern California also had them too. So I don't know why I would have sent a bunch of people up. You know, Titus ain't doing nothing. I ain't seen that dude wrestle in ages. Send Titus up here. Somebody.
Right.
That's what I wanted to see. Disappointed me at. I said, oh, okay, they might be here. Because what's that, a plane ride? That's 2 hours? Come do some work up here, man. So just chill in LA and take some photo ops. Come up here and see what's happening. Come up here and see the hundreds of people, you know, who are missing up here, and dozens that have died. You know, come up here and see what's really going on. That's my take on that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I don't want to downgrade. They were like, you're right. There were a bunch of suppliers as well, Southern California too. I know that there were some talk about they shouldn't have used those type of graphics during that time.
It's just, I mean, the show, it's one of those show must go on things, you know, it's one of those, yeah, it's just, it's happenstance. And like, I didn't think, I thought, oh, I hope people don't get the wrong idea, but I wouldn't even grill for a minute. You know, that open flame kind of, you know, like we could see, I could literally see the fire up the hill. That's how close I am to it. Like, I almost had to, I'm in a neighboring town and I would have had to evacuate had it got any closer. In fact, right. I know plenty of people who had moved, they saw it coming and they moved. You know, like there are people who lost their homes and they don't even live in the state anymore. But yeah, so it's just happenstance. It's a lot more going on than just, you know, he has a, you know, the graphic of that. So I'm glad a lot more right. people didn't jump on it and latch on to that.
Well, in all honesty, I think when some of the persons who I heard talking about, they're more almost negative, you know, they're more negative than positive WWE. And that's one of the other things they just said, well, and by the way, they shouldn't have done this when they were in California. But anyway, let's continue on with, Nia Jax. So I actually have her t-shirts and, that's the male and I'm wanting the female version. Of course, I'm not like most girls. So I'm a supporter of her. It's just dangerous. You know, I kind of forgot about until you ran it down about how many people she actually put out over the last, you know, two years. So I was doing a little bit of research and I saw she came up to the main roster in July of 2016. And she started off as a baby face. I'm sorry, started off as a heel. I apologize about that, Sean. Started off as a heel.
Yeah.
And then she turned face for the whole Alexa Bliss body shaming thing. She had a brief, you know, flirtation with being a heel. And, you know, it was really only one episode where she's kind of told the fans to keep quiet, you know, and everybody was, oh my gosh, she's turning. What's going on?
Yeah.
But she ultimately stayed face. And now she's a heel again. And I don't necessarily have a problem, Sean, with her maybe listening, being friendly with Nia, with Alexa Bliss. They weren't friendly. Mm-hmm. It was just that Alexa was the manager or the coach of the women's Survivor Series team. And they could, you know, we all know in wrestling with men, you know, John Cena and Randy Orton should have no idea, shouldn't even be in the same room. And then the same thing if you go to Cena and Edge, they shouldn't even be in the same room either because the things that Edge has done to Cena. But in men, they tend to, hey, let bygones be bygones, even though we don't see in the front of our face, maybe happens in the backstage or something like that.
Exactly.
So you want to talk a little bit about her turning within the last two plus years.
Well, yeah, you know, I just, so I'll start with her promo, the last promo she did. People liked it. And I'm like, what the hell did you like about it? The fact that she was reading, like she was reading. I mean, I'm glad she can read, but that's trash. Do not come out and read it to me. I don't care if you curse. I don't care if you mess it all up. Just be real. And it wasn't real because she was reading it. And she was taking these odd pauses. I'm like, the promo reminded me of like a 1-800 number or something. I'm Nia Jax. Or 1-900. I'm Nia Jax. Come meet me for this and that. Like, it was bad, dude.
Yeah.
And what she was saying didn't even come across to me. And then she peaked the mic out of nowhere. So she's not, and then they used the body, like you brought up the body image thing about it, right? And I'm a big supporter of Nia Jax. It's just that she's a heel version of Piper Niven. That's who she should be. If she worked with Piper Niven on the indies, then we got something there. She could learn a ton from Piper Niven. Because then, am I saying her name right? I might have messed it up. Whatever.
No,
you know what I'm talking about.
You nailed it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, y'all carry the conversation. I'm just listening now. Y'all got it.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so like, her turns are bad because they don't. It's not her. She did that body positive when she was doing that thing with Alexa Bliss. She can be a heel that's super body positive, but they don't actually use that. She should be using it and feeling like really powerful and sexy, like she is on Instagram. She's very comfortable with herself and beautiful on Instagram. She should be using it like Beth Phoenix, like the Glamazon. That's who she should be channeling, you know?
Right.
Strong, beautiful,
right.
and powerful. So her turns are always weird. And they never quite work because she's not the right character. she's just kind of reading her lines in her head, and she goes out there and does that. And too many people do that. And that's why a lot of people from NXT never work, because they're not, they're just who they are. But she, on the other hand, she needs to be who she is, read what they're telling her to, but be herself as well.
I see what you're saying. I see exactly what you're saying.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I hope that came through a little clear. I mean, it's a really big issue with her, because when you do start to hurt people too, it's not like it's not in the back of her mind. You know, we know that, and
right.
that could be something that's actually going on with her. I mean, to be honest, I don't know what was going through Roman's head, but it's a lot like with him. I mean, now we know that this could have been in the back of his head lingering. We never know. But you never know what's in somebody's head, and I want her to get fired from this company. I don't want her to stop being a wrestler. I want her to pick herself up and get up and be the wrestler we all want her to be. I want to see her versus Piper Niven. That's what I want to see. I want to see that, and I want to see that be great. I want to see them come out and dominate anybody, man or woman, in their way. I just want to see that, like China used to do. I want to see people just not even care about any type of gender lines, or color lines. I just want to see her come out, be herself, and destroy. She can do it with a smile on her face, or she can do it however she wants to do. I just want to see her do it. And I don't want to hear her read her lines. And I don't want her hurting people.
I'd agree with you. The only thing I'll say about reading lines is that I can understand, while I don't like, I can understand why WWE has the wrestlers do it. They have, they're on national/international TV. There's a lot of things at stake. So I think they need to have the wrestlers be more natural. But if they ask the person to say something, the person has a choice, either don't say it or say it. So I'm more in the middle of that whole thing, but I think it should just be more natural, or the wrestler should have a lot more input on what they say. But ultimately it's going to be, hey, your boss pays you to do this. You can either do it or not do it.
Exactly. And you know what? I think this is the single reason I was thinking about this earlier throughout the week when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about on the show, but the attitude era, people always ask for it, and it's not nostalgia. I thought everybody mistakes it for nostalgia, but it's not that, because it has some horrible stuff in it that we don't want to see again. It didn't have good women's wrestling in it. Not really, you know. So that's not the nostalgia of it. It's the fact that people were themselves. DX, that's who we wanted to see. Stone Cold, The Rock, we got to see people, these characters, weren't overly, people just want to use it again, but you can't do it when it's overly scripted. So that's what people want from the Attitude Era. They want the they want the cursing. I don't want people to get over. Roman Reigns got over because he said the B word a couple times, and it's like, nah, that shouldn't work. It shouldn't have that effect. You know, I know we're in a PG era, but can we be PG-13 at least? Can it be PG-13? Can we put the 13 on it? Like, they're not doing anything to entertain adults, but adults are watching it. Well, were. I mean, because now people are leaving. So you have this product you're trying to pitch to everybody, but you can't do it. You can't get new fans unless you tell me you're here for me. I got a Seth Rollins action figure in here right now. First action figure I gave my son. You know, when times were tough, I was struggling. I worked hard just to make $20 to get him that. Seth Rollins. I could have picked anybody else. I picked Seth Rollins. And then what do? They turn around and they give us the lowest ratings possible. That's a slap in the face. So when my son doesn't watch it, whose fault is that? It's theirs for not giving us the things in the attitude era, like the unscripted promos, but like letting people have creative license over their characters, enough creative license and a nice structure to do it, firm but fair structure, so that we can get them. That's why people love The Rock and Stone Cold now.
So the last thing I'm going to say, I'll let you both go, and hopefully you both have a real good weekend. Again, Sean, congratulations.
Thank you.
And we've gone from Nia Jax all the way to where we are now. But one thing about the Attitude Era that I was most uncomfortable with is that even though, you know, Wade Keller, editor Wade Keller, actually talk about how if you look at the metrics, like the average WWE viewer is, you know, in their 30s, 40s, whatever age they are. But I always think this is going to be a children's, let's say not TV show or vehicle, or let's just say vehicle for right now. And the part that I felt most uncomfortable about during the Attitude Era was so much stuff that was going on where a parent, you know, a mother could say, well, I don't want my son watching, or my son, I don't want my child watching this. And, you know, kids are going to find out how to do things, of course. As we, the three of us know, kids are going to figure out how to do things. They want to really do it.
Yeah.
But if the parents sign off on it, then there's really limits on how a child can get access to it. And I could see, like, I know the three of us have heard about how there's a saying that if the mothers decide that they don't want their kids, their son to play football anymore, pretty much in a...
Yeah.
That will still happen in some form or another. Really shut it, or if the mothers actually shut it down, then it's going to be really hard to find new people. But I just want to put that part out there, is that that was the biggest thing I felt uncomfortable about the Attitude Era, is that it's always going to be something that kids are going to want to watch. So other than that, I will listen to you both. I hope you both have a real good weekend, and everybody out there has a good weekend. And I'll hang on and listen, Rich. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no problem.
I hope you have a great weekend, too.
Thank you very much, 28-year Torch VIP member, Brian Austin. Yeah, so for me, I think with the Attitude Era, most people would want to – I disagree when it comes to, like, the PG-13, mainly because it's – right now, they're cursing, or they say what they need to say. I mean, remember, we're a year and change removed from Vince dropping an F-bomb on national television to help get Roman over. I think it's more what you were talking about in terms of the DX and people being themselves, and also the thing that got Mr. Bro excited, the idea of giving everyone storylines. Sure, some of them sucked, but one of the awesome things about the Attitude Era was if Raw sucked, you could turn to Nitro. If Nitro sucked, you could turn to Raw. Right now, there isn't an alternative product where you can move away from a segment or two and then come back. It's either Raw or your phone, or Raw or me throwing on my DVR now and watching Vikings. What do you think about that, Sean?
I'm sorry, repeat the last point.
Yeah, like it's right now it's Raw or something else. What happens when
Hello?
It's – yeah, can you hear me?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got you. I'm sorry. They kill their business when they beat the competition. Like literally, Vince should have actually left right after that. I'm not going to lie. Like what else did he ever have to accomplish? He beat his nemesis and he proved himself. He's proved himself to be greater in that business than his father. That was it. I mean, now it's, I feel like he's trying to make his own rival kind of with Triple H, which is why he, you know, just let Triple H have NXT and not giving him the reins yet, because I think he kind of wants to have that rivalry again. But, yeah, and you know, I don't know why ROH never rose to what it should have been, but it should have been easily the successor to WCW. But yeah, once you kill your competition, like in a mall, if there's a McDonald's and a Burger King in the mall and the Burger King closes, well, the McDonald's is going to get less customers too because it's the only thing around and not everybody wants it. But if it's Burger King and McDonald's, it's like, oh, well, I like Burger King's nuggets, but McDonald's has better burgers or, you know, whatever your reasoning, you have a choice. And once that choice is eliminated, then you just don't choose anything.
That's a very good point. So now we're going to go. We got a bunch of calls, so I'm going to go to our next caller. long time PW Torch East Coast cast caller, Mr. 862 himself, Kylan. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure to be back. Firstly, to answer Sean's question about why Ring of Honor hasn't risen to its appropriate level yet, I think that falls under the responsibility of Chris Ripley, the CEO of Player Broadcast. So, to give Ring of Honor the appropriate money they need to get on better TV stations around the country, or to give them a national cable deal, and them not having a national cable deal that they may really need.
I hear you loud and clear. I wish it's just ROH as a whole also being, you know, if you got it, you got to take Vince's quote, you got to grab the brass ring. Is that what he always says? I think you got to do it.
Yep.
And they just haven't. They just haven't done it. And I'm very disappointed in them. They've had so many WWE champions come out of that company, and they're still where they are. That's pretty gross if you're in that industry. That's just not acceptable.
Yep. They're still, and this is probably wrong, but to me, they're still number three company, and I'm saying number three because some people get them because of their low-grade television clearance.
When WWE, if they do it correctly, which I think they are, I mean, you got to give them a little bit of time, but if SmackDown's going to be the different show we think it is, then ROH is going to fall even further, because Raw and SmackDown will be very different from each other and actual separate brands. I do love what the WWE tried to do. They said, let's manufacture our own competition. It's just that they're the, you got Corey Graves on both shows. How cheap are you? How cheap are you? Or how goofy are you? Just get him, keep him on one show, please. There's enough announcers to go around for him to be just on Raw commentary, you know? But yeah, I mean, ROH is going to fall even further when SmackDown makes itself very different. He should go SmackDown, Raw, New Japan and ROH, maybe somewhere in there.
On the subject of SmackDown going to Fox, what did you think of Peter Rice, the senior vice president of Fox, apparently saying that Fox would like SmackDown to get at least 3.3 million viewers when SmackDown lands there starting October 4th.
I think it's easy, and I think that's a low number. I mean, I would hold them to some really high standards, and I don't care what they would have to do to get there. If I'm paying you $1 billion, you better get to half of what you were in the attitude at your height. You know why? I'm giving you over $1 billion. How many people watched it at the height? It was in the double digit millions during the attitude era. I'll be fair and say not during the Monday Night War, maybe, But, like, that's not even fair. No, during the Monday Night War, get your ratings back. The Walking Dead hasn't, like, you can, the comic book's already written, you know? You can go and look at that, and that hasn't fell off as much as Raw and SmackDown has, to my knowledge. It might have dropped off, you know, I don't think they have, still have more viewers is what I'm saying. So it should be pretty easy for them to get a 3.3. I mean, very easy. I mean, Fox said they were going to throw a lot of weight behind it. So, I mean, they're going to have a lot. They're going to have at least, I don't know, 4 million more people that could see it from advertising. And there's going to be a lot of people that, from the Attitude Era, that are going to want to see where the product is now. And if they go with the sports-like landscape that they want to do, and an overhaul and the theme, then they should reach it pretty easily. I mean, this company, we forget, as terrible as this company can be, like on all around, we forget a lot about what they can do and where they can be. Make no mistake about it. They are the worldwide leader in wrestling, and they should crush the competition if they want. They could have put everybody out of business if they wanted to. And I think that's what they might end up doing with this NXT. But that should be very easy for them to do, and they should keep rolling. After this, they should keep that rolling and keep going, hopefully.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Second question. What do you think it's going to take for Vince McMahon to even temporarily cede control of Raw or SmackDown over to Triple H?
XFL ratings, if the XFL takes off, which a lot of people laugh about it, is like, well, you know, the day after the Super Bowl, people start that meme, the countdown to preseason games in the NFL. So people definitely want more football. And they say, oh, I'm not going to watch the XFL. Well, why not? You like football. All you talk about is the NFL. They don't want, but then they crap all over the NFL and say, the NFL does this and it does that. So do you want football? Do you want sports? Do you want the NFL? We're going to see who's the hypocrite and who's not. So the XFL is the only thing, and it's if it has great success, it's the only thing that's going to take this McMahon away, because this is still his baby, and he has great – believe it or not, he takes great pride in the WWE, because it's not just his father's company. It's his company and his family's company. They got their whole name on it. And it's crazy how – I mean, I'm not trying to defend the man too much, but like, it's crazy how he puts a lot on him, and he should not do this. He puts too much on himself, which is why why that question even exists. What's it going to take for him to concede control just for a little bit? Like something outside of his control, like great ratings for something completely different. You know, that's really weird that I would even think that, but anybody would think that. But yeah, once if the XFL takes off, then he'll ease up without a doubt.
And last thing for you, so since I don't think she'll end up being released, this is the level of punishment I think management will go with. And I'm not wishing this to happen either. But if Nia Jax accidentally or intentionally hurts another female on the WWE roster, could you see Nia Jax unfortunately being repackaged as like a Birth of Faith type wrestler that's forced to wear an extra fat suit, and they have all the other female wrestlers talk about how horrible looking they believe she is, or something ridiculous that Vince probably thinks about saying about her, but he doesn't have the courage to say.
I think, they're gonna turn her into a clown. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, there's another side to this. If she hurts anybody else, like, she's got a match with Ronda. So, like, if she hurts Ronda, I don't know what's going to happen to her, but you can bet your bottom dollar she's going to turn into a clown character. And she's reveling in this stuff now, but nobody's thinking of nobody's actually really looking out for her. She couldn't back away from it. I understand that. But if she does this correctly, if they try to punish her, she should just straight go to the Indies, ask for a release of her contract, and come back. Because there's no one the size of Nia Jax on that roster. And I think that's a big missed opportunity, too. You got a lot of people out there who can make Nia look, who can rival Nia in their strength. You know, not too many. When I say a lot, enough. I should say enough. And enough is a lot in comparison to what it used to be. But you can get Nia. If Nia does it again, which, to be honest, I'm pretty sure she will, because, you know, she's just not good at her job in that way. When she does it, she would definitely be. I don't think they'll go the fat route, the fat suit and stuff, because I think they'll catch too much heat going that route. I think they're going to get destroyed if they do that, and that's going to make her a sympathetic baby face, and people are going to, you know, so that would be the opposite of punishing her, I think, and that would put a lot of heat on them. But she's going to turn into a trash character, and I don't want to see that. I don't. I want to see Nia Jax do well. That's why she's still here. We all do. We all like, well, maybe not all, according to Twitter, but we watch wrestling. We're wrestling fans. If you're a wrestler, we're a fan of yours, and we want to see that. So we rooting for her, but yes, when she hurts someone else, she would inevitably be. It's coming already, I'm going to be honest. It's, whether she hurts anyone or not after this push, she's probably going to be a clown character, unfortunately.
I don't think they'll do that, though. I'm sorry to jump in, Kai. I don't think they will because of her relationship to The Rock. If she was a tangential relative, sure. But she's super close with him, and he's been instrumental in even convincing her to let them mention her weight on television.
But she's one wrestler, and he doesn't work for them, and he didn't even bother to show up on SmackDown. If there's one thing I do know about Vince, that dude will – you steal one person to him, and I don't think that even The Rock has the – even his name ain't going to save her from what she do. It just won't. You know, I just, there's some people, don't get me wrong, I understand it's The Rock, you know, but I don't think he's close enough. He's doing movies, so he's not even close enough to really, he'd have to come face to face and talk to Vince about that stuff. If she hurt somebody else, that ain't got nothing to do with The Rock, and I think she's going to have to pay for it, and she ain't going to be able to rest on his name. And if she even invoked the name of The Rock, he going to show her how expendable she is. Vince will still do that to you.
Yeah, you're probably right. Oh, before I go, Sean, I hope you tune in next week, because Rich and I will be doing a full hour on the top wrestling venues throughout wrestling history.
Oh, I'm going to tune in, definitely. I'll definitely be tuning in.
All right, Kylan, thank you so much as always, and I'm looking forward to doing that show with you next week. And before we get out of here, we have one last call, and if we're going to have anybody finish us out, it's going to be this man. So, Mr. 478, state your name, and welcome to the deep dive.
How you doing, Rich and Problematic Sean? This is Durrell from Georgia.
What's up, man?
Not a thing. Congratulations, young man.
Thank you, man. I told you I walked out to the I wanted to walk out to the Pass Detroit, go to Champion, but they didn't have an instrumental, so I just walked out to the regular Goldberg thing with the antique antique belt. So, you know, I hope I did right by you, man. I tried, but I came out to Goldberg.
Yeah, I seen that you said that. That's pretty tight, man. It's pretty tight.
Thank you.
I've been listening to the conversation from the jump and the start. Before I go to Naya, I want to speak on something that y'all was speaking on earlier, and I think y'all was talking about where they messed up was when they got rid of the competition, and that's where they started to mess up originally. But to be honest, I think that's a cop-out that people have been giving them for the past 10, 15 years that should never, ever be used. Because places like the NFL, the NBA, and places like that who consider sports just like them don't have competition. The NBA never had any competition from the jump. The NFL has never had competition from the jump. Soccer, football never had competition from the jump. And their sports continue to thrive and find different ways to bring and spark up their fan base. Just like the NBA, just because of the thrill of the NBA, the WNBA for the past 3 to 4 years, the same amount of years as WWE's been going down, the WNBA has increased in ratings, viewership and attendance for the arena. So I think when we say that to the WWE, we're continuing to give them an excuse, which goes to Vince showing up on Monday. Fans complain about the writing, complain about the shows, but soon they hear Vince coming. Instead of showing him your complaints by putting it on him, you get super happy and, man, I can't wait to see this 70-year-old man who's ruining your show that you like to watch because he's afraid to adjust and evolve. Instead of you telling him that and showing him that, you just happy and he spoon feeds you this because he know if I show up, they'll shut up for a little while and not care, and I go back to doing business as usual. I think that's a mistake also. So that's just my quick thoughts.
No, I did realize that. I say, hey, man, so he's just going to show up and try to shut us up real quick because it's him. I understand. It's a double-edged sword, man. I'm sorry to jump in there like that, Rich, but it's a double-edged sword. I don't like that because it's like, yeah, he's showing up. But like you said, it's really to just shut us up. Like, oh, we got Vince McMahon. I am going to be happy to see him. I am, you know. But at the same time, I know why he's doing it. It's exactly why he's saying. And, yeah, that's messed up. But the other thing you were saying, I don't think that the WWE does use that as a cop-out. Like, oh, you know, I think they're using it as a cop-out, that they don't have competition and that they don't have to raise a bar. But that bar kind of goes up steadily over time anyway. You know, I'm not using it as an excuse for them, but I believe they most certainly do, and that it's in their heads, and that when Vince looks around, he says, I don't have any competition. What do I have to do better? Unlike the NBA and NFL and stuff like that, they're like, hey, let's move our product up anyway. You know, like they score more points in the NBA and NFL because they just want to – they're raising the bar on their product because that's just what you do. But Vince dropped the bar on his product because there was no competition. I don't think they should have did that ever. But that, I believe that's something that they do and that they cop out on it. I don't use it as an excuse, but I know they do.
No, and Sean, don't apologize, man. That was a good point. I'm not, you know, you here. That's why I have you here. I think you're right. I can't find any fault with that. Oh. I think my biggest issue with Vince is it's not even Vince. It's going to be when he goes out there, and as I always mention whenever I'm on any other shows, everyone's going to be singing along to No Chance in Hell. Everyone's going to be doing the We're Not Worthy to him and completely blowing his ego up.
you love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them, we'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
When I go there on Monday, I think he's going to get chance. I think we're all going to pop. I do think there's a chance he might get booed. Don't lie. I think there's a chance he might get booed. Very small chance. But I think there's going to be chance of other stuff. There's definitely going to be chance. Because, I mean, we got to voice our opinion to him somehow. I'm definitely waiting to see what chance happen. I know I'll hear a couple boos. At least a couple, but I don't think it'll be overwhelming. I think overall is a really small period, but you know, I'm waiting on it. I can't wait till it opens with him to see what people do.
I like what you guys. He's a relevant character. I'm not happy to see him. I seen him on TV when he was announcing the XFL, so I don't care to see him on Monday Night Raw. I don't think it's that luster has lost so many years ago. He's an irrelevant character because he's not adding anything to story, and it's a typical WWE thing where they do stuff that doesn't increase the story, develop a story, and straight one-dimensional. It's just a one-dimensional thing that he show up, walk down to the ring, and might say, "You're fired." He probably tell Baron Corbin, "You're fired," and all of this stuff right here, and it doesn't even go with the story anymore. He hasn't been in the story. He hasn't been involved in the story since when he was supposed to hide this case that Shane had of all this bad information.
Yep, I remember that.
And stuff like that.
The lockbox.
Yeah. So unless he's coming in to tell what was in that lockbox, I don't care what he has to say. He's not really shaking up anything. It's just a typical WWE story that's boring and that's been Monday night's kryptonite for about 4 or 5 weeks now. But going to what y'all was speaking on Nia Jax, I too was a person who was kind of upset about how it moved on because you said something about Nikki Bella. I remember when she hurt the lady and people were flipping out on her. Yeah, Liv Morgan and flipping out on her. Well, that's the first time she ever hurt someone. And Nia Jax have hurt 4 or 5 people in a row where they missed time. She's the reason why Alexa Bliss is not wrestling right now with concussion syndrome. she's hurt numerous of people. And a lot of the women who've been out on Raw, she have hurt constantly back and forth and back and forth. Now, I understand that they probably look at her a little different because The Rock is her cousin. He's his agency is her agent, so they give her even more clout and stuff like that. But I also understand that sometimes some people just don't get better. It's just like that first round quarterback who has all the potential and he never really gets better. Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler. He had all the talent for years and stole so much money throughout the years, and he still never improved. So that's just something that I see. It's just something that you will have to work around. I also still feel like if she's able to draw people in or get people to hate her or something like that, that's something that you can also use. You just have to work around it. But I hate to see her hurt other people. But I think you just have to look at it and work around it to best fit you and understand that it's going to be a couple of slip-ups, a couple of hurt people, but you have to just try to get the best of it until you don't need her anymore, until you can elevate other women to take her place where you can knock her down the car and somewhere that she can be that's good for her and safety and healthy for everyone else. Which is hard when they have hard times developing stories for that build of the characters, which they need to look at the other sports and take a and stop doing the entertainment and start looking at sports, because sports itself is entertainment. The NFL, when you look at the end of day commercials, they have sports entertainment in their name also. So that's what you should start looking at, and stop looking at daytime talk shows and stuff like that. That's why you get people hurt and stuff, because you do daytime talk show type of stuff.
Right. It sounds like we're caught between The Rock's cousin and a hard place.
Ooh,
sorry, guys. I just thought of that and thought that was...
See?
I just thought of that, bro.
Yo, wow.
My bad.
It's
I know it's corny, but that just sounded great to me.
I wish I had a sound. Well, let me see. I'm going to look on the sound effects here, see what Pat McNeil left me. Because if I have like a womp womp, I'm using it.
I think that was good, man. It's corny, but it's good. The Rock.
Go ahead, Cam.
One of the pleasant surprises for me.
That's all I got. I got Wade doing Lashley, and I got to finally debut it, so there we go.
No, that's pretty good. Lashley. Oh, man.
So you got anything else for us, Darrell, before we roll out?
Not really. Since it's we got TLC coming up, ready to see how this go down. Don't too much care about Monday Night Raw. I want to see how this match with Nia Jax and I'm lost her name that quick.
Rhonda.
Ronda Rousey, see how that goes, and see did she hurt Ronda. And I wonder what would happen if she would hurt Ronda this Sunday. What would happen with this push that you guys were speaking of continue, or will it halt immediately for her to be immediately pushed to where she doesn't even get the chance to feud with Becky and stuff like that. And I would ask you guys this, since she has this heat, do you see them using her as a setup? Let's say if they have Becky win the Rumble, and since they have two pay-per-views to fill before Mania, use this last little bit of this heat by having her in maybe a main event match, that main event, one of those two pay-per-views where she probably challenged Becky for her spot at Mania for winning the Rumble, and tie all this up together as a good story, which I know that sounds hard coming from WWE, but can y'all see something like that happening? Then you can get that Nia feud and don't have to worry about it after Mania.
You go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I think that can work. I think if she hurt Ronda, she'd be fired the next day. That's you're messing with the golden goose.
Yeah.
Because Ronda right now, I see Dave Meltzer right now arguing with people as we talk here on the deep dive about the fact that they're telling Dave that Ronda Rousey has less mainstream appeal than Becky Lynch. And that's when you're in the bubble. Like outside of – that's why Ronda was the person they brought to the upfronts. That's why Ronda was the person anytime they go around, they do their big look at how awesome we are. They bring her. If you take that away, especially with Roman sick, you got problems.
They got to be careful with Ronda. There's something Ronda didn't do on the mainstream, and that's be the hero. She wasn't Muhammad Ali that got her belt back. She was the one that quit because she got beat up twice, and people have never forgotten it. I'm her fan. I'm a big fan of Ronda. I didn't forget she got her ass whooped twice, and she didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, both times she was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Both times she was like, you're not going to ask me any questions. I even mentioned the Travis on the East Coast cast. Yeah. Even when she tried to do the lovey-dovey WWE stuff, they would ask her, hey, what have you learned from the – it's like, this? I don't believe in time travel. What a stupid question to ask. It's like, no.
Exactly.
I'm asking you if you had to do it all over again, not if you go back in time literally.
And that's the problem with her. That's when you say mainstream, you say mainstream, the word media goes along with that. And that's what happened in mainstream media. She did that to them. So they remember it too. And that's why Becky doesn't have that black stain on her, because Becky is an authentic wrestler that's always been one. Ronda hasn't. So they can always play with her. They can, if they want, they can bring Ronda Rousey down. So I think her being a heel, I think if they ever need to push the button, they need to push that button whenever the media remembers that. And I think they will. The way they go after people now, if Ronda says something goofy on social media, then they come in for her head, and that's when you press the turn heel button. Because if you don't, she never came back, so I don't think she's actually strong enough to come back. I think if she tries to get pushed as like Becky, like as a baby face, like how Becky is, I don't think it'll work. I don't think people will get behind her. I might boo her if she do a terrible lame promo, because I don't really like her like that on Monday Night Raw. I don't think she's that good. She's terrible on promos. I'm still a fan of hers because I remember what she did in the sport, but I also remember what she did in the media. So, sorry, I got off topic. Sorry.
No, you got to get it out, player. It's all good with me. Darrell, you got anything else before we get out of these streets?
Okay, last thing to tie it up. Still, Becky is not nowhere near mainstream than Ronda Rousey. All you have to do is just go ask a random person down the street and ask, do you know Becky Lynch? And they give you that blank stare. Then you know who's mainstream and who's not. And if you ask them, do they know Ronda Rousey? I'm pretty sure if you walk up to five people, at least three out of the five know who she is, and probably only one out of the five know who Becky Lynch, maybe, if that's the one. So that's something. And, Rich, I would love for you to do a deep dive, because this goes to the fact when you see those fans going at Dave like that, who always be delusional sometimes with their fandom, do a deep dive on, are some of these hardcore fans wrestling fans, or are they fans of just individuals, which make them not really real wrestling fans? They just fans of individuals. Like how some people say they basketball fans, but they really just LeBron James fans. So they follow him everywhere he goes and stuff like that. And how that hurts the industry more than other sports. Like LeBron James fans, they can be fans of him, but they flock to wherever he goes, lifting up the market that he go to. But wrestling fans were fans of just like individuals, let's say like the Elite, and how it kind of draws and pulls away from wherever they go. I would love to see you do a deep dive on that. That's just a suggestion, if you had a suggestion box.
I appreciate it. I do, in fact. If you give me a shoot me an email to PWTDive or DM me. I mean, we talk, you know, just DM me. That way I can add it to the spreadsheet of deep dive topics I have running for any given time. But, yeah, man, you have yourself a wonderful weekend. And before we get out of here, Sean, why don't you let folks know what's coming up, what the plan is. I know you said Sporticus is still in the works, if you have anything solid with that in the next few weeks. And anything else you want them to know?
Like I said, I'm going to be covering Raw. I'm going to Raw. I'm going to have my, you know, my little Lucha mask. I'm going to have an antique gold, you know, big Goldie with me. So I'm going to Raw. I'm excited about that. Excited to see Vincent Mann. I know it's weird, you know, but he's still the man of that company. I still want to see him, you know, kind of a little bucket list thing. I want to give a shout out to Brian Cage. He was in town. He's actually from here where I live. He was in town. Let me see the X Division belt. Take a picture with it. That was great. He's getting married next year. You guys look out for that. I don't want to get a date because I don't want to, you know. I don't think he dropped a date on social media. But, yeah, you know, he's got his title match coming up pretty soon. I thought he actually turned it in, but he doesn't physically turn it in into the match. So I was like, I thought you got the belt. He was like, yeah, man, you want to take a picture with it? I was like, yeah, that's great. But yeah, other than that, man, I'm going to be a family man for a little bit. I got some things coming up on MMA Torch, some Covington's Corner coming up. Jack Swagger is making his MMA debut in January. So I'll be talking about how he got his ass whooped after that. Sorry.
No, I was just laughing at Swagger getting jacked up.
I mean, he might win this fight, but he won't be Bobby Lashley. you know, he won't be Brock Lesnar. I don't know who he'll be, but like maybe he'll win. But yeah, I got some things coming up. I'll be covering that. But like I said, I'm going to take it a little easy. I got a nonprofit I'm starting out here for people who don't have homes. I'm hoping to get that started. I don't know if that'll happen. It's hinging on a lot of things. So I got my hands full. But yeah, MMATorch.com, Covington's Corner. I'll be taking care of that. Hopefully Sportacus comes up. And yeah, I'm a married man, so I'm going to just enjoy that life for a little bit.
Oh, well, my friend, you are welcome anytime you want. Thank you for taking the time, and thank you all for taking the time to listen to us. As always, you can reach me on Twitter at @Rich_Fan. Dive into something new. Next week, we're going to be diving with Mr. 862 himself, Kylan Furlow, on Wrestling Venues. So between now and then, challenge yourself. Go Plus Ultra. Love y'all, and we'll see ya in a week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.